I posted some chicken and fish last week. There were some submissions made, and we said the legal advisors would look into some certain matter and make presentation. Then from there, after that, we'll go deal with clauses and determine our position. So I don't think we need introduction. We knew each other ever since the time we met. My approach would be that because there was an emphasis on the point of legal view from the advisor, we allow the advisor to present and get that view. From there, we proceed by dealing with the clauses and make our determinations. Is it agreed? Thank you very much. Over to you, madam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everybody. As the committee will recall, following the briefing that the committee received from the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs last week on the Local Government Municipal Rights Amendment Bill, a discussion had ensued in the committee regarding the question as to why places of public worship are not charged rates. This then led to the question as to whether a proposal, or a possible proposal rather, can be made by the committee to change that status quo. And a further question was that before even considering that question, the question was whether there was a provision in the bill that actually dealt with places of public worship and their zero rating. Now, I disagreed at that point with the response from the department when the question was raised as to whether a provision exists in the current bill. The answer was no from the department. I disagree with that in that if one looks at Section 17 of the Act, that is the act that deals with impermissible rates. Section 17 is currently a provision of the Act which is being amended in the Amendment Bill. In addition, Clause 13 of the Bill, specifically in paragraph F, amends Section 17(1) paragraph I of the Act, which deals with impermissible rates in relation to places of public worship. Now, at this point, I must stress that the intended amendment in the bill relating to paragraph I does not change the situation regarding the zero rating of places of public worship. All it does is change the reference to a office bearer or a official residence to make it clear that one is only referring to one of those, in other words, one official residence and one office bearer. So I acknowledge that the provision does not change the status quo of the zero rating relating to churches. However, following what I'm about to say in terms of the rules of the NCOP, as well as Section 75 of the Constitution, I'm of the view that whether the provision exists in the bill or not, the Select Committee is not limited in its power to propose amendments that go beyond the scope of the bill. And the reason I say so is because if we look at Section 75 of the Constitution, which sets out the procedure that must be followed when a Section 75 bill is passed by the National Assembly and then referred to the NCOP. In particular, Section 75(1)(a) of the Constitution states that when the NCOP receives the bill, it must either pass the bill subject to amendments proposed by it, or reject the bill. Section 75, it must be noted, does not state that any amendment proposed by the NCOP via its select committee must be confined to the provisions of the bill. In addition, if one looks at Part 4 of Chapter 10 of the NCOP Rules of Parliament, this is the chapter that sets out the roles and functions of the Select Committee when a Section 75 bill is referred to it. In particular, Rule 210, subsection 1, paragraph H, states that the Select Committee may not propose any amendment that may change the classification of the bill or any amendment that will render the bill constitutionally or procedurally out of order within the meaning of Joint Rule 161. Now, Joint Rule 161 deals with the manner in which certain types of bills must be introduced in the various houses. So, having said that, this particular NCLP rule does not prohibit a select committee from proposing an amendment that goes beyond the scope of the bill. And should the committee decide to propose an amendment that places of public worship must be charge rates, that will indeed go beyond the scope of the bill. But a select committee is not prohibited from doing so. Nor does it state, so I'm talking about the NCLP rules now, it doesn't have a similar rule like the National Assembly Rule 2493B, where if a National Assembly wants to make amendments to any other provision of an amendment bill which is not before it, then it must go seek permission from the House to do so. So I'm saying the NCLP rules doesn't contain that a similar rule like that. From the above then, what I'm saying is that it's apparent that the Select Committee may propose any amendment on a Section 75 bill, except, however, an amendment that may change the classification or tagging of the bill or render the bill constitutionally or procedurally out of order within the meaning of Joint Rule 161. However, I must state that on a Section 75 bill, the Select Committee may only propose the amendment. And if the NCLP, in terms of Section 75(1)(c) of the Constitution, passes the bill subject to that amendment, the NA then, meaning the National Assembly, must then reconsider the bill, taking into account any amendment proposed by the NCLP, and then the NA may pass that bill again, either with or without the amendment, or decide not to proceed with the bill. If, after the Portfolio Committee has received proposals from the Select Committee, decides to accept the proposals, and if the proposals then go beyond the scope of the bill, then it's for the Portfolio Committee to go to the National Assembly to seek permission to effect that amendment. But having said all of that, I just need to also state that should the committee decide to propose that the bill be amended so that places of public worship are indeed charge rates, so in other words, it changes the status quo and those institutions will no longer be zero rated, then I must say that the following must be considered. That such a proposal would change the current status quo. Where places of public worship are currently not charge rates in terms of Section 17(1)(i) of the Act, and hence such a proposal would require public involvement either in the form of a call for submissions or hearings to ascertain the views of those affected by such a proposal. And this is an obligation in terms of Section 72(1)(a) of the Constitution. And that I also want to just say at this stage that there was a written submission received by the Portfolio Committee which stated that places of public worship must not be the only institution that's excluded from rates. The proposal or the submission also said that the properties owned by places of worship, and in particular Islamic institutions which promote education, training, and religious instruction, that they also be zero rated. In other words, they requested further exemption. So that, for me, gives an indication, even though it was just one proposal by a particular Rashid Patel, he didn't come and make an oral submission, but there was a written submission received by the Portfolio Committee in that regard. He's proposing that the zero rating not only apply to the church, but it must also apply to the training institutions that those churches own. So I'd just like to recommend that in light of what I've said, according to the rules and Section 75, the Select Committee is authorized to consider the proposed amendment, even if it goes beyond the scope of the bill. But that should the Select Committee wish to proceed with that, it is recommended that the more public participation process is followed. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. That's the input, maybe, before we can dwell much on the process. Is there any issue of clarity from the presentation from honorable members? Anything that you need clarity? Are we fine? And we proceed? Can you now lead us? Okay.
Chair, we just need to clear a few things for record purposes. First, with respect to our position last week as a department, we didn't say as it comes, it doesn't come out clearly in this legal draft, that we're saying that the select committee doesn't have power to make any amendments to the bill. All what we're saying is that reference in Section 17, which she referred to, those amendments, they didn't change the status quo, which is what she's coming to. So we just want to make it clear. We were not questioning whether Parliament, whether it's the Portfolio Committee or Select Committee or the full NCOP, can it change the bill or not. We know that once the bill gets into Parliament, it's Parliament which has to decide. Then the second aspect of it is it relates to what is in the legal opinion regarding the processes of what needs to be done if the select committee was to make certain changes to the bill. And there is a factual thing which is in this which is not being said. If you look at the processes involved, it's a factual thing, it's not a legal issue. The factual implication of that is that the bill will have to lapse. I can't see it in any way from policy perspective in terms of those processes. It's a factual matter if you look at those particular processes. And secondly, one thing which we also need to bring to the attention of the committee, which we tried to do it last week, but to put it on record, the issue of religious communities is not something which arose in the select committee for the first time. When we as a department went to brief the select committee last year, I think it was October, that was why the portfolio committee, that was one of the issues which arose. And the things which we explained last week, we took them on board. When we came again after the public hearings, again when they deliberated, this issue came up. So the issue of if the select committee makes an amendment, it will have to repair it, is fine, we understand that. But all what we are saying is, the select committee will be referring something to the very same portfolio committee, which is not new, which they are aware of all the reasons, and actually some of the things which were said in that portfolio committee when this issue came up. There are lots of things which were said which were not said in the deliberation of the select committee last week. But all those things, the portfolio committee knew about them, and it took those into account when it made the decision not to make an amendment of the bill. The last point with reference to that is the fact that we agree with what the parliamentary legal advisor is saying, that the thing is will really be a substantive issue, and that is what we said last week. And on that basis, we'll stop there.
Thank you very much. I think you are responding the presentation would prepare honorable members' frame of mind to engage clause by clause, and then that is how we're going to move. If any issue will move out of any clause, then we'll have little time on it and proceed. We're no longer going to be going up and down. Let's go straight. Can you take us through the clause? But that we don't have a summary of clause by clause issue. Do we have them? But I think the presenter can just summarize. This clause deals with this. This clause deals with that and what?
Che, what you're referring us to do was done last week because they took us through the clauses last week.
Yes, I thought we should just proceed because the matter was this one that was raised.
Yeah, I thought we'll deal with this particular matter because in terms of the rest of the clauses, we don't have a problem.
We agree.
No, we are only dealing with this particular matter. And I wanted to suggest, Chair, that because there wasn't sufficient research made on these religious communities and all those things, I wanted to suggest that we leave the bill as is. And if proper research is being made, the Fifth Parliament can then make further amendments to that particular bill, so that we leave this process to continue. We don't make the bill lapse now precisely because of one particular issue. It's because we don't have full information around what might be the implications in as far as this particular religious communities are concerned. We don't have that information, you know, and that's what I wanted to suggest, Chair.
Honorable Louis.
Yeah, Chair, just I agree. I second what my Honorable Matila is saying. But because the department was making a record, perhaps we also must make a record, Chair, that whatever we deliberated on last week, the department is saying it was not new, it's issues that were there. So in our view, when matters are before us, they are new. What we say here, they are new to us. Where the information that they are privy to, if they know what the debate came at the portfolio committee and what was, and for a record, Chair, we would have amended the bill if the time was not against us. So in a way, that comment that says whatever the deliberations the select committee made last week was not new. The portfolio committee even went far and into matters that we didn't go to. You see, Chair, we certainly not share the same assertion that the department is making for a record, and I'm making it for a record myself, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Chair, I think I need to comment on what the Honourable Member has just said. What we're saying is that the presentation that we made to this House, not the NA, we are not disrespecting this House. We are saying we did make a presentation in October last year to this very House on this bill. And secondly, Chair, I think one other aspect that I would like to add is that we do respect the rights and obligations that are embedded and enshrined in our Constitution.
Order.
That.
Order.
Yes.
Let us not provoke the members' emotion. I think what we are appointed by
the department
here is made, is understood.
Yes.
I would want to avoid argument of management and politicians from the start.
I was clearing the issues, Chair.
Order.
Thank you.
No, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I think, Chair, you're right. This matter is out of the department now. The matter sits rests with us. It's for us to take a decision. You know. Now, let us not allow the department to debate with us. If we need issues that we think needs to be clarified to us, we'll ask the department to comment on them. But for now, the committee must now deliberate. This matter is out of the hands of the department.
I think there was a proposal, and also Honorable Louise Mudd has made the to also protect the side of the Select Committee by what is said is on record, so that we're covered. But also I would want to say, taking into consideration the legal opinion and all those presentations, we need to be very careful. It's not for the first time that we receive Section 75 bills. We have been passing 75 bills, and it's rare that we had that opinion. But we know this is an important opinion from the legal advisor. Going forward, that opinion must come before we can even start taking decisions, because otherwise we are saying other bills of Section 75 which passed before this committee and other committees are illegal if we did not follow that type of thing. Let's note it is important, as Honorable Matila and Louis said, that the fifth parliament must sit down and ensure that it looks at all flaws and whatever the case may be, so that we at this committee, we are here, we are supposed to be like NA home, but we are doing the work of the NA. It's our obligation, it's our duty. We are saying with all these recommendations, the fifth parliament will take into consideration what has happened in this committee. And it's a matter of principle. We are agreeing that we take it as Matila proposed. Any second? Seconded, said it. Objection? No objection. I would want to read the committee decision here. Report of the Select Committee, Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs on the Local Government, Municipal Property Rights Amendment Bill, Bill 33B, 2013, National Assembly, Section 75, dated 18 March 2014. All the legal advisor, we have passed your time is over. We are no longer going to take anything from you. We are taking decisions. Huh? All the secretary, I'm now chairing this meeting. I don't want anything. The Select Committee on Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, having considered the subject of the local government municipal property rights bill, Bill 33, 2013 National Assembly Section 75 referred to it and classified by joint taking mechanism as a Section 75 bill, report the bill with amendments. Without amendments, so I'm sorry. The report to be considered, it has been seconded, no objection, therefore the bill has passed. Thank you. Order, Secretary. I think we are not two chairpersons. One chairperson. Honourable Member.
Mr. Chair, sorry, we must have misunderstood you. I was under the impression it's going to be referred to the Fifth Parliament to take it further. Is that how we understood it? So it's not been passed yet?
No, it has been passed. I don't want to divide the House. I think there is enough consensus to pass the House. I know there was no objection. The meeting is adjourned.
Then we must have our objection noted, please. Thank you very much.
The meeting is adjourned. I did not hear you. Okay, honourable members, is there any other issue? Is there, sorry, security? Security at 11 o'clock, this membership is needed. Thank you, Honourable Department. Thank you, honourable members. Let's wait for 11 o'clock. We can be eating to avoid fruitless expenditure again. Thank you very much. Honourable guests of the record, maybe we're supposed to be going to Madrid this week and the trip is sort of postponed. We are no longer going. The Fifth Parliament will take the matter of Section 139. Thank you very much.
Crazy meeting.